been, over the last 4 months now, been filtering through Scripture, right? And so we have gone through the book of Daniel. We've talked about the rising of the little horn. We've gone through some in Isaiah. We've gone through what the church age is like. And now we're into, again, the church itself. And in this, before we get into it, we're talking, many people have saw the teaching of the beginning of the revelation in the churches as certain blocks of date, right? The church of Ephesus was in, they say, 505 AD, right? They say that this Constantine was the ruler and all that kind of stuff during this time. We're going at it a little bit different angle. We're looking at the characteristics that Jesus points out in the Ecclesia. Not the time frame necessarily, and that's where we're at today, not the time frame necessarily of when that may have fit in. Because you can take Scripture and bend it to fit in any place. The thing that's outside of time with the churches is these are characteristics that is found in every body of believers. All right? And so just looking at the characteristics that Jesus says, listen, it's to the angel of Ephesus, it's to the angel of Pergamos, it's to this day, messengers. These are to the messengers of the churches. Now, although those churches were very specific, right, and they fit geographically on a map, the spirit in those churches fits for all of us. Right? And we're looking, that's the angle that we're going at this at, and then by the grace of God, we should get, we only made like two churches last week. Yeah.
And said,
yes, please.
But there is no scripture to try to fit these church ages in the particular period.
Yes,
that's what individual Christians are in their life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the actual characteristics of individual churches. I mean, yes. Bodies of believers.
Bodies of believers, yes.
It's not
and so it works as individuals right here, but it also acts as what Jesus called the Ecclesia, the church, the people that are called out of darkness. And these characteristics were alive in the very first church in Jerusalem, and they're alive in these churches today in our tribes. But we see an expansion in the ignorance of the church today, probably like we've never seen before. People are not studying their Bibles pragmatically. Is that a good word?
Vehemently,
yeah. And just for what the Bible says. And there are some, praise God, I think that the Lord has brought us as searchers, as seekers here, looking for God's Word, which we know is truth. So we don't search for truth, we search for God's Word, that's truth. All right? That is just real square. And if I don't agree with God's Word, guess who's wrong? I am. Right? And so yeah, that's how we teach it and stuff like that. So before we get into that, let's talk about some prayer requests. And welcome 2021! Woohoo! Man, you think last year was bad? You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. This ain't getting good and good.
There you go.
No? Amen. Jesus, don't know. Asha made this great point. Last year wasn't that bad. Last year absolutely was great. Look at what God did. Right? He took his hand of protection off of the world because the world rejected him. He allowed this thing to happen. What did this thing do? It made a division between those who said they believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ and those who really do. Right? What a great blessing that is. Right? And Jesus talked about in the last day, he's going to separate the tares and the wheat. Right? And maybe that's what we're seeing now. We'll get into some more of these things. Hey, Brother Bill, how you doing?
Made it.
You did make it. I noticed that when you walked in. I said, Bill, made it. Oh, really?
Why? Freezing rain.
Oh, is it? All right. Freezing rain, so before we leave, we'll salt the parking lot, you know, or parts of it, you know. And so anyhow, just real quick, I got to make this thing about Alan. We decided to give him the boot today.
Yeah.
Hey, there's a large wooden boot that somebody brought him. We're going to give the boot to Alan today. So anyhow, folks, let's talk about some prayer requests real quick. Not a whole lot, but just, where's your heart? What do you mean? Where are you? What can we pray for?
Does that take the place of
places that don't say it?
So, does have, that was my only hat in school. The only team I was on. Anyhow, so praise God. Prayer, what you got?
Just
help me. Just help me. Amen. Mark?
The 6th of January.
Oh, amen. There's a whole lot of stuff happening on the 6th of January.
Yep.
Praise God. Hey,
Michelle,
pray for Michelle. Yep.
Bridget.
Nancy, what's your prayer for?
Everyone.
All right, the body. Amen. Diane, what's up, baby girl? I have a pig in my foot. Don't call no more with no big fat women. You don't remember that?
No.
You don't remember that? It was back when The Bump came out. And then there's an off song from The Bump. And it's Don't Bump No More with Big Fat Women. And so, anyhow, yeah. There's a few things that Google's good for. Sounds like that. Jim, how you doing, buddy? Amen. Just keep family in prayer. Starts with V.
Val.
Okay.
I would like prayer that the mask would absolutely go away.
Amen.
Amen.
We just unmask our faith. Amen.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
And Val's husband?
Gary. And pray that our leaders would uphold the Constitution.
Amen. Amen.
I believe inspired.
Yeah.
That's why they're in office.
Right. Well, that's what they said they were going to do, and we believed them. So it's not their fault they're rats. It's our fault that we didn't check them out.
Yeah, they have a constitution.
I mean, no, we have a copy. Anybody who doesn't have a constitution, you can even home today.
We got constitutions for everybody. To help your constitution out. But anyhow, this is the constitution. You got to feel free to grab one on your way out. Or on your way in, it doesn't matter. You don't want to, you ain't got one. Hell.
Our church is closed down this week.
That's
one of the reasons we're here. And it's with Solid Church.
Yeah.
But it's concerning that they would duck away so quickly it's according to the virus. You know, the virus is causes, but we don't stand in the very small things. However, we understand in the spiritual. You know, this is just a simple physical thing.
So. Yeah.
Not to their detriment, you know, I don't certainly want to come against them.
Right.
The prayer would be that their eyes would be, that they would be encouraged.
Right.
They would be encouraged to stand against fear.
There you go. Stand in faith.
Stand in faith.
We walk by faith, not by sight. Well, sight tells us that word messed up. Get to you in a moment. Let's go to Alan.
Right along the line.
All right. Great.
We as God's people will stand for what we believe. The COVID isn't my God.
Amen. That's right. That's right. Amen. Nance?
My kids are
going to Tennessee tomorrow. Oh, they're going to Tennessee? Oh, wow. Bless their heart. Are they going to live or are they just going to visit?
Oh, they live there.
I'm
going to visit.
Oh, wow. Make sure that you come back, though. We need things in New York. I know this is where the seat of Satan is. We need the people of Christ to live here, right? I'm sorry, I can't. Nancy?
Nancy.
Wow. Yeah, there you go. You just called her my wife. You just called her. Nancy?
Well, I
have
prayed because my son came from Texas, and he got home safe with us. And about
2:30.
Oh, praise God. Praise God. Beautiful. And Nancy's husband?
Well, Doug.
Doug, yeah.
I was thinking of Nancy, but
yeah.
Doug
stuff
he said. She had it first.
Yeah.
Actually, my big desire is for God's people to desire and seek the truth.
Amen.
And not just rely on people without checking it out. Be like the Bereans. Search the scriptures.
Amen. Absolutely. Ryan, how you doing, my brother?
For family and friends, to wake up, and for people that really research this vaccine that's getting pushed right now.
There's some stuff right in the midst of that. Tams, how are you, babe?
Good. Healing for Evelyn and strength for marriages.
Okay. All right. You got it. Bill, what's up, buddy?
Scandemic needs to
And Lawrence's wife?
Mary.
Mary.
A boldness.
Yes.
Christian people to stand to proclaim the word of Jesus Christ in a solid, firm standing.
I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for in it is the power to save, of salvation. Amen? And so not be ashamed of that. Deanna.
Of that, to go with what Bill said, that the pandemic would be over.
Amen. Amen. Bonnie.
That we would stand firm and not fall away.
Yeah.
And not be persuaded.
Yeah. Not easily pushed by any wind of doctrine. Amen. Alicia. Allison. Hey, I'm doing good. Yeah, I'm doing this to test myself because I'm horrible today. Yeah. Because it took me 15 years to learn my own name. I thought it was sit down and shut up. Allison, how are you today? Can I pray for you? For you? Right. Deep waters run slow. Sally, yeah, how are you?
For Washington, D.C.
All right. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. And how's my wife doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Just the last couple months. So just having this going on.
Yeah.
Super great, and I learned that God is sovereign.
Amen.
Opportunities to witness to people
and
are terrified of this.
Yeah, amen. Amen. We went downtown and did that this Saturday.
New Year's Day.
New Year's Day, yeah. So, probably about the magazine and stuff like that. And for me, I want y'all to pray for me, okay? I want to be selfish here. Y'all got the rest of the world covered up. Keep me in the Word, all right? I fritter away so much time. I don't know if y'all have that problem, but I get, what's that old cartoon, squirrel, right? I go that way so often, right? I need focus. I need to spend more time in the Word of God, and I need to be sure that what I speak is not my opinion, right? I don't want you to hear my opinion. My opinion is like everybody else's opinion, right? And if it is not in line with God's Word, I don't want to say it. Right? And so, but I have a skin problem. It's called my flesh. Right? And I often make off-cuff, stupid remarks. I'm sure y'all don't have that problem. Amen. And so let's go to the Lord and give him a quick. No? Dear Father, we do thank you, Lord God. I thank you that you have brought together a group of people, a body, Lord Father, that's desiring to know you, to walk with you, to understand the times that we're in, and to boldly proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord. And Father, we ask for that. We pray for an anointing from the Holy Spirit this morning. We pray, Father God, that you would teach us. Let us hear what the Spirit has to say to the church, Father. And I would implore you, I beseech you, God, that you would open up our eyes of understanding, open up our mouth to have confidence to express the salvation that you have given us, Father. And don't let us be ashamed. Father, I pray that we would walk by faith and not by sight. Lord God, that this the things that the world is afraid of, that it would not shake the foundation of who we know we are in, which is Christ Jesus. And Lord, we praise you for that. Father, we pray for those who are traveling. I think Nancy, she's about ready to head down south. Lord, just bless her, keep her safe, bring her there, and bring her back. Lord, let that be your will. Father, and we thank you and we praise you for those things. I lift up the folks who are ill. Lord, just sick. Father, there is a flu. Lord, and I just pray that your hand would touch people, that you would help them to get better. Father, let us know that our healing comes from the Lord. Father, and if we would put the things that you have provided for us in us, these vessels would work much better. And we praise you for that. We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So pray God. Open up your Bibles. That's always a good way to start a Bible study, right? Pray and open up your Bibles. We are in Revelation as the Lord Jesus Christ was telling John what the churches look like to him. Often we have a misconception of what we think the church looks like. We think the church looks a certain way, right? We think, oh, only if you wear this or you do that or you jump through the hoops that man made that can be the church. Well, Jesus doesn't look at the church that way. The church is made of individual people. It's not the building that you go to. It's not to necessarily the religious organization that you have tied yourself to. I don't think God cares about that. In fact, Jesus didn't like religious people very much at all. It kind of blows people's minds. In fact, when he talked to the Pharisees, he didn't have much good to say. Whitewashed sepulcher. Well, that makes you feel good. That's all warm and fuzzy inside, right? They were very religious. But Jesus is looking for a relationship. And he knows where we are at in our relationship in him. And you might fool me and I might fool you. But we ain't fooling Jesus. He knows who you are. In fact, every time he starts one of these churches, he says, I know your works. Listen, I know who you are, where you're at, what's going on around you. And then he points out some things that we want to look at today in the church. So anybody remember what the Lord said to the church of Ephesus? Come on, you left your first love, right? He said, you got some good things, man, praise God that you're doing some cool stuff. He said that he described himself, and then in verse 2 of chapter 2, I know thy works, your labor, your patience, that you can't bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say that they are apostles and are not, and have found them to be liars, or I felt to be, found them liars, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Praise God for that. They got some good things going on. You know, there's some stuff. We went over these first two, so I'm just going to quickly go over them, and then we'll dig into the third one. All right? But he also says, I have some things against you. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. All right? We talked about that in depth, but since we got new ears here, what does it mean when Jesus says you left your first love? The Lord. Right? Yeah. So you left your first love. Let me ask you, are we as close to the Lord today as we were when we first accepted the Lord as our Savior? How is our walk with Him? What drug us away from Him? What got us caught up in the things of this world? What made us look away? What happened to Peter when he looked away? Right? He was called out to walk on the water. Remember, it was a very calm day, right? It was like a sheet of glass in that water, right? No, it wasn't. It was a storm. It was raging. Right? And God said, hey, Peter said, Lord, if that's you, let me come out to see you, right? Let me walk out. And Jesus said, walk out. Step on out. Step out in faith. And as long as Peter looked at Jesus, he was able to walk on the water. When he took his eyes off of Jesus, he sank immediately. How about our faith? Has God told us to get on the boat? You know, start walking about a little bit of faith? He called you out of the world, out of this darkness, and into His glorious light, right? He called you to do that and then to walk by faith. How often do we turn our head away? I'm more scared of Fauci than I am of the Lord.
That's a fearful thing to walk by faith.
Amen. It is a fearful thing to walk by faith. Because what does it take to walk by faith? I'm sorry, I'm hot.
You're basically dying to yourself.
Yes.
You say no to yourself, you say yes to Him.
Right.
Yeah.
Step out of your comfort bubble.
There you go.
Absolutely. Yes.
Because God never calls us to be called us to be comfortable. Right? Has God ever said, come on now, I'll bless you. You'll never have to work another day in your life. Just I'm going to open up the gates of heaven. I'm going to dump gold stuff right on top of you. Alright, that's Osteen's gospel, but it's not the Bible. Right?
He called us to be soldiers.
Yeah, he called us to be soldiers. He called us to crucify our flesh. Right. He told us to die to ourselves.
To live.
Thank you, Kevin. That's absolutely right. Yeah. We've got to die in need to live for Him.
Yeah. Kind of constitution.
And as I said last week, This Constitution is a great piece of paper, but it ain't the Bible, right? And I took an oath to uphold the Constitution at a time in my life, and I did, and I do, but I'd rather uphold this one. Amen? This one here is going to go away. It's not going to last forever. In fact, I think we're on the end pages of this one right now. I think we're on the end pages of this one, too. That's as far as time goes. Anyhow, so in Ephesus, he told them that they had lost their first love. But he gave them a remedy of that in verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. Do the first works, or else I will come quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place. Catch that. Out of his place. Right? It's not his place. When you think of a candlestick, you think of a lamp, right? I'm going to remove the lamp out of his place. But this lamp that he's talking about is the illumination of the Holy Spirit. God said, I'm going to remove him out of his place. Something to think about, church. This thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. When God says he hates something, what, how should we feel about that?
Same.
So it's very important that we know what the doctrine of the Nicolaitans is. What is that? Who knows?
Nicol's over.
Nicol's over, Laity is
over. Laity, so it's like a priesthood over Laity.
Yeah.
But it's also that Balaam and Balak.
Yes. There's another church over here specifically says that he doesn't like them because they follow Balaam. They allow that doctrine of Balaamism. Balaamism?
It's carnality.
Yeah, it's carnality.
It's liberty. That,
yes, it is.
Taking liberty.
Taking liberty.
Yeah.
Lord, we'll get into that as we get to it. But that that idea that the pastor or the speaker in the church is the only one who knows what the Spirit of God has to say is a lie sent straight out of the pits of hell. If you're born again, who do you have living in you? Holy Spirit. And his job is to do what to you personally? Lead you into what?
All
truth, all righteousness. And to remind you of whom? Jesus Christ. So you're born again, you have the Spirit of God. Spirit of God, if he is working in you, he's leading in you into all truth. What are you supposed to do with the truth that the Spirit of God leads you into? Obey it, share it. There you go. The two things. Obey it and share it. Does that mean you need to be a pastor? No. You can be a whoremonger. Amen? We had a new whoremonger last yesterday. She did a marvelous job. That's all. She really mopped it up. See, there I go. That's me. Right? That's not my book. Anyhow, that idea that only the priest or the pastor can understand this word. That's a sin. God wrote this word to each of us that we can know it. We can know his word through the Spirit, right? We can know righteousness through the Spirit. We can know Jesus Christ through the Spirit. And what we need to do is obey the Spirit. And it's not, he is not in it. And that's why he said, I'll remove his lampstand. I'll remove him from you. Right? So in that, so we know what the Nicolaitans is, how they hated it, how they didn't, and it was good for them. Verse 6, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the garden. Okay, what does it mean to be an overcomer? This is just a quiz. You will get a grade at the end. Amen. Over the trials of life.
If you don't guess, you can repeat it.
I don't know. That sounds very much like reincarnation. I don't know. Go ahead, sis.
But it basically has its own meaning that you overcome that problem.
Yes. See, that's what good Bible teaching. See that young lady right there? That's what good Bible teaching does. And that comes from her grandpa and her grandma. They're planting that seed of holiness, righteousness in that young lady, those young ladies, right? And making a difference in their life. And so we understand all that that was spoken to the church in Ephesus, and then he writes to the church of Samaria, and to the angel messenger, to the angel of the church of Smyrna, write, "These things saith the first and the last, which was dead, which is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye also have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee crown of life. He who hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." And that's as far as we got last week. As we look into this church of Smyrna, what do you see? What jumps out to you in that?
Affliction.
So that whole wealth and prosperity thing kind of gets shot in the foot right there, doesn't it? And they say that they were poor, but what did God say they were?
Rich.
So does that mean real wealth has very, very little to do with the wealth that we have in the world? I mean, we value gold and diamonds, right? What does God see gold as?
Paving stones,
asphalt. All right, think of it like that. So to God, gold is worth as much as asphalt is here. You know, you can buy a bag of asphalt for around $5. You know, he gets it on sale. So God's saying that 50 pounds of gold and our tender may be as little as $5. It means nothing to him. So what is of real value to God in the kingdom? What really counts?
True relationship.
Amen, brother. Absolutely. Because what are the two great commandments that God gave us? That if we did these things, we'll fulfill the whole law. There you go. Really boiled down. First, you got to love God. How much? All. I mean, we can put parameters around that, all of this, all of that. But really with everything, with every breath, every thought. Yesterday morning, I won't go this morning because it's Sunday and you may have done this. But yesterday morning, what was the first thing that popped in your head when you stepped out of the bed? Where did my slippers go? Man, I wish I would put that thermal floor in. Yes. Absolutely. Oh, I'm with you, my brother. I love you so much. If we really thought of God like that, what would be the first thing on your heart, in your mind? Amen. Thank you for the air. Thank you for being able to have full feet. Amen. Thank you, God. Loving Him. Yes, loving the Lord. That should be our first thought every morning, every minute of every day, is loving God. And once we get that down, once we kind of understand that a little bit, does it make it easier for you to love me?
Absolutely.
Amen. Because I am not a lovable character. You can ask Nancy. I'm not lovable. Both Nancy's, all three of them, all four of them, all the Nancy's here. I am not lovable. I really ain't. In and of myself, there's not much to like. But God. Right? So if I see Christ in you, I love you. And even an unsaved person, if I see Christ in them, how does somebody see Christ in them? By knowing
how they're fruits?
Nope. By knowing this. What does God say about every human being? Alright? How were you created?
In the image,
in the likeness of God. Even if your heart is desperately wicked.
We all need
a Savior. Yeah. And so God loves how many humans?
You can see the joy in people.
Yeah.
There's a pleasantness about being around that type of person.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
The Holy Spirit over there witnessed.
Thank you. You're right. Oh, my spirit, I mean, when I come around folks who know the Lord, boy, there's a kinship almost immediately. And I can be kin to somebody that doesn't know the Lord. There ain't no kinship. I mean, it could be my sister. I know my sister doesn't know the Lord. I know my sons don't know the Lord, don't want to know him. You know?
Yeah, there you go. That's up to them, not up to me. So that church of Samaria, he really didn't have anything bad to say about them. He said he understood their tribulation and that it would be for 10 days. There's a lot of speculation about that 10-day thing. All right? What does it mean? Nobody really knows. We know that it's 10 days. All right? So does that mean they were executed after 10 days of imprisonment? That was a thought that was batted around. Could very well be. Could very well be. I believe when the persecution comes to the church, which I believe is coming really soon, when we're thrown in prison and offered up to the courts, we may only have a 10 days.
You may understand.
We may understand what the 10 days is.
We see blue glass darkening, and face to face, all of a sudden it becomes real. We understand.
Yeah. When, I mean, if the church, if the Gestapo kicks through the door right now, and they say, who here believes in Jesus Christ enough to be brought out in the parking lot and tortured for 10 days? I got crossed off. They're tying me to it, beat me with a stick. It's okay. Who can go through 10 days of hard times? Right? I'm not saying it's easy. It says that they were tortured. They were tormented. It was tribulation for 10 days. It didn't say, hey, you're going on a Florida vacation. You know, you get to see the big rat. Mickey Mouse? Yeah.
It's harder to focus on it.
Yes.
There's no burden in it if you focus on the Lord.
Amen.
That comes very much from personal experience.
Yeah.
It's not, there is no torment when you stand in the Spirit.
Yes.
When you walk in the Spirit. There is no torment. Nothing can happen to your body that will overtake you.
Yes.
Stephen's a good example. He was being stoned.
He was being stoned to death. And if y'all know what that looks like, that is not a pretty sight to be stoned to death. Because they ain't throwing pebbles at you. They're throwing bricks.
It's bright peace and joy.
And
there is no burden.
He looked to the Lord. And he said, I see the Lord.
History testifies.
Polycarp.
Like, well, Fox's Book of
Martyrs. Fox's Book of Martyrs. That
was witnessed directly.
And now we may say that we don't have the faith to go through that. Well, you don't know because you've never gone through that. But if you have faith, the Holy Spirit will give you what you need when that day comes.
Amen.
And the Bible says here, for this church right here, 10 days. 10 days. And it's okay. It's okay. The persecution coming. Go ahead, Bill.
And that is Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6.
Mm-hmm.
This persecution comes.
Yeah.
Just learn with all our heart.
We do not have all understanding.
Now, let him direct our path.
Yeah. Yeah. So, in that, that's where it also tells us when you're delivered up to the courts, don't study about what you're going to say. Don't try to memorize a bunch of scripture and just blurt it off. That doesn't matter. Speak what the Spirit gives you at the moment. America has never been persecuted for being a Christian. Because slamming the door in your face when you're witnessing to somebody is not persecution. Okay? Yeah, it's not. If you think you're persecuted, they didn't like me. Well, they didn't like you before you knocked on their door either. You know? So, anyhow, any other thoughts? On that church right there? Okay. Verse 1. This is where we'll start our Bible study. We said all that to say this. To the church, to the angel of the church in Pergamos, write, these things which saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, which is New York, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelt. Alright, so this is a good part of it. What's he saying to the church here? Before I have a few things against you.
Did not deny the
faith? Absolutely. They stood their ground. Many churches today, and I'm not throwing stones at nobody, but they're more afraid than they have faith. They're more afraid of the virus. They're more afraid of what Cuomo says. They're more afraid of this. They're more afraid of that. Closing their doors. I never in my Christian life ever believed that the church would shut for Resurrection Sunday. I mean, yeah, well, the first, that was when the first 14 days of the virus came, and there were a lot of people that just didn't know about it. All right, but it was Resurrection Sunday. That's the time that life came from death, and the churches were still locked down. I don't get it. I don't understand it. We say we live by faith, but we're scared of a microscopic bug? Or we're scared of what Cuomo's going to do? God said, don't fear the one who's only able to take your life, right? Fear the one who's able to take your life and cast your miserable soul into hell. That's who you need to be afraid of. And that's only one. And that is Jehovah. That's the one true God. The one that's going to judge us on that day. And so he says, I know that that you have faith. Even I say, it says where Satan's seat is. And I say New York. You know, I don't know if y'all have ever noticed it, but this is a pretty wicked state. It is. There's, go ahead.
Rochester's in the top of that.
Yeah. Oh, this is the armpit of the seat of Satan. But anyhow, this is where God called us to minister.
We still have to hold our tongue there.
Yes, amen.
I understand God's doing a great, great
thank
here.
You.
We're not being hauled off to the parking lot and
yes.
Headed to
amen.
Me.
Amen.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we're speaking freely here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We don't have to worry who's coming in the door the next time.
Right.
Satan's seat may be elsewhere.
Right.
We want to recreate the trouble. No, Lord, thank you for where
yes.
We're at today.
Amen. There's no doubt. I think this church here had that spirit. They were worshiping even in the midst of hard times. But I've
heard most historically, there was a temple. Was it to Zeus?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There was something in Pergamos, which is what, Turkey?
Yeah.
Modern-day Turkey?
Mm-hmm.
And that was like a real center of...
Yeah, was it Zeus or Jupiter?
And one of those.
Zeus was, okay.
And then they moved, okay, that commentary. And then the Nazis took that whatever sort of statues or columns and stuff and put it in Berlin.
Yeah.
Before Hitler was, I mean, there's a story.
Yeah, there's some historical evidence to that.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Any other thoughts?
So,
yes,
and my note is saying that they had the finest libraries. And
yes.
So, apparently, Pergamum had the idea that they were above and smarter than
wise in our lives.
Amen. Yeah, I believe. Yeah. You're right. Think about that. Oh, we know more than God. Had this discussion with a pastor of a that believed other things besides the Bible. And when he first came to town, I thought I might have the first time that a male had pastored in that particular congregation in a long time, as a female pastor forever. So he came in, I thought I might have somebody that I could converse with. So I went and I sat down in his office within the first week that he came in, said, "Hi, my name's Kirk Fitz. This is who I believe, this is what I believe in." And we got talking. I said, "Well, what we believe is that life starts at the first time that the cell divides, right? That's life, right? I don't know if I believe that so much. So, right, well, we do, you know, and that's precious from that point forward. I believe that God created everything in a literal 6 days. Now, you know, God allowed us to believe that when we were ignorant. In one of the bigger churches in town.
Still ignorant.
So anyhow, I found out pretty quick that was not somebody that I could come and share scripture and pray with, but that's okay. God brought us out here. And so, but anyhow, so there's some things that were going on there in that church of Pergamos. And it says that they did not deny the faith. And he remembers the ones who died for him, his faithful martyr, Antipas. I don't know who Antipas was. In fact, if his name wasn't written right here, remembered by Jesus Christ. Think about that. God remembers the name of those who suffer to death. Have you thought? I mean, we all know that God knows our name, right? But He remembers this individual in this particular town on this little speck in the universe called the Earth, right? And He remembers this guy particularly and has his name written down for all of history to remember him. I don't know who Antipas was, but I know he loved the Lord. And he didn't love his life more than he loved the Lord. He was able to give it up. And God said, "He's my martyr. He died in faith." Man. He wasn't hiding behind a mask. Amen? He wasn't hiding behind a mask. He didn't shut the church. Right? He wasn't scared of the leader of Pergamos at that time. He wasn't afraid of the scientists. Fauci didn't shut him down. Those people say that they know more than God. Or even Trump. Listen, I'm going to push out this vaccine. And we're going to make it a mandate. I praise God that Trump is our president. I do not trust him. I don't trust him no more than I trust Biden. You know? And now I voted for him, and I voted for him 2 times. And if he was able to be president, I say, praise God. I still don't trust him. You know why? He's a man. He's a man, and I don't care if he chases girls around. It ain't none of my business. You know, I mean, really, it isn't. This man doesn't chase girls around. That's all I can help for. But I don't trust him or any other politician. Personally, I don't trust you guys. You know, and y'all ought not trust me. All right? Because guess what? If I have not hurt you, hold on for 5 minutes. It's coming. There's another church to talk about. I am going to hurt your feelings. And it's okay. Thank you, sister. You're so right. We all get our feelings hurt. I don't care. I really don't. You know, and I'm not and we should never be so consumed with what other people think so much that it stops our worship of God. You know? And I'm not talking about a song. I'm talking about having that deep personal relationship. I'm not here to make you happy.
But we're to love one another.
Amen.
And we're not to use that liberty.
Yes.
So
yeah.
We are held.
We are held, no doubt. We're held. And so I'm not supposed to make you stumble. But what you think should not affect the way that I worship. Yeah, there's a truth that lies in it. Go ahead, brother.
There's also some burden sharing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah.
They're others bearing their burdens.
Mm-hmm. So we're supposed to confess our faults, our sins to one another, and then we're supposed to help edify each other in those weak points. You know, believe it or not, ask my wife, I got weak points. You know? We all do. All except for Justin. Justin's only, he's got it right down to the core. No, he don't.
No, I don't.
Oh, praise God. And so then he says, I have a few things against thee. Because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. All right? Now, who knows what the doctrine of Balaam was or is?
It was a cult like witchcraft.
It was a cult like witchcraft.
Right.
Now, Balaam hired Barak. Balak. Yeah, not Barak. He was our president before this one. But Balaam really got money. He sold out for almost nothing. Amen. And so, this Balaam, this worship of Baalism, right? There is a, throughout the Bible, you have Baalism, right? This worshiping of idols, worshiping of stone. And it's a sexual, lustful kind of thing. Showtime, Facebook, Twitter. Try to think of anything that doesn't have sexuality in it right now. Can you even buy insurance without a girl pulling out her breasts? Yeah, every commercial you see, right? It's just this girl's got her button down to here, you know. Every radio that you listen to, it all has this interwoven in it. Now, it might not be open in America, but it's definitely there.
A lot of music is too.
A lot of the stuff that we play in churches is that way. That 7-Eleven songs, that's all I can call them. You know, seven words repeated 11 times. And that kind of is more sensual. And so that's what he says. You have the doctrine of sensuality. And you're putting up with that. God says, I don't want that. It's not supposed to be that way in the body of Christ. Here, I got this woman right here. All my sensuality is right here. This is all I need. Whether she wants it or not, that's where it goes. I'm taking on her. She's going to be mad at me. She's probably mad at me now. She's mad at me later. And so, if you are husband and wife, that's where it belongs. Keep it there. If you're not married, keep it under control. Right?
Flee it.
Flee it. Thank you. That's the right word. Flee it. Run away. Yes, from. Yeah, I'm glad nobody knew what I was talking about.
It's a little boy, it's like a little boy.
Anyhow, who taught Balaam to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel? So Balaam talked to Balak and said, "Well, Balak said, I know how to make the children of Israel stumble." Does anyone remember the accounts there? Israel was going to war against the Balaam and his people, right? And God was with the warriors of Israel, and Balak was told to go and curse them. Every time he went to curse them, he couldn't curse them. In fact, to the point that his donkey wouldn't pass through the pass, and his donkey spoke twice. So what did Balak do to make the children of Israel fall?
Wasn't Balak the king of what? And Balaam was the... some kind of a cult. He had some kind of power, some kind of what would I call it? Witch, for want of a better word.
Yeah.
And he tried to procure. He wanted him to curse Israel.
Right.
Balak, the king of Moab.
Okay, so I got the guys mixed up.
Yeah, I mean the two names because they become so synonymous. And then he went to curse. Balaam went to curse Israel, and he couldn't.
Right.
And he continued to try to curse. That's where God brought the donkey.
The donkey. Yeah.
To try, and donkey's talking to him. Hey, bozo. Open your eyes. God is right over there.
Yeah. So what was the stumbling block that he put before Israel?
Women of Moab.
Women of Moab.
That's right.
He said, I personally, as a prophet of God, he must have been a prophet, he wasn't allowed to curse the people of Israel, the men of Israel. So what did he do? He put showtime.
Well, in the notes here, it speaks of religious work for personal gain.
Yeah. No, there's that too. I mean, because he did. He said, I will be your priest if you pay me.
Right.
He said, I will come worship to you if you'll give me your house filled with silver, I believe was the price that he paid. And the king said, sure, no problem. I'll give you all that silver. No big deal. I'll pay you. But in that, it talks about the stumbling block that he put in front of the people of Israel. Sexual sin. See, in America, in our day and time right now, we don't think that sin is sexual. If I can't have the one I love, then I'll love the one I'm with, as the old 1970s song said.
You know?
Yeah. If it feels good, do it. Don't flee sexual immorality. Stay away from that stuff. It will kill you. Right? It will kill you. It killed Israel. It put them in bondage. And if it put them in bondage, would it not put us into bondage just as easily? Yes, sir.
Well, that seems to be interwoven to society from the beginning of time.
Yeah.
It's always been there, and it's here today.
Yeah. Paul said, every other sin is outside the body, but sexual sin is on the inside of your body. And there's some scientific stuff that we could get into that I heard Dr. James Dobson talk about years ago. But that's chasing a rabbit down a hole, and we can get into that a little bit later on if anybody wants to, because it's just something I heard. It's not something I've researched, so I don't know if it's true. But one thing I do know is true is that that stumbling block laid before the children of Israel caused them to eat things that were sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication. Right? There's some pretty... Go ahead, Mike.
I'm just going to ask. So no matter what it's inside or outside, it's still flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Sinful.
Yeah.
Sinful flesh.
Yes, it is. Whether it's inside or outside, it's still sinful flesh. Verse 15 says, so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Again, he said he hated this doctrine twice. And he also warned them about the stumbling block who taught Balaam to cast Balaam. The stumbling block that Balaam taught Balak to cast in front of the people of Israel. All right, did you see how that was? Because that's how I got it backwards. So Balaam said, hey, Balak, here's how we're going to win. Go get you some pretty girl from Avenue D. Bring them down there and throw them out in front of them boys. Watch what they do. You know? Or from wherever you want to pull them. Pretty girls, wherever. And so so that's what happened. He also had the doctors up. Nicolaitans, only I know the truth. Stop that. If you're going to, or if you ever listen to anybody on radio, Mike, or TV, you know, that says, only I know the truth. You got to pay me, and I, when you pay me, I'll pray a blessing for you. Stop putting that garbage in your head. Believe the Bible. Do you have... does anyone here really believe that a pastor or a priest has a deeper understanding than anyone else?
I do.
Yeah.
Or do.
Do?
I would think, yeah, someone that studies more than me would have a deeper understanding. That's what I would
okay.
think. So when I'm searching, I'm coming to you so that you can teach me so that my knowledge can grow.
Right. That's true in a very real sense, but if you were to study it,
right.
you would have the same access as I do.
Right, I
you know,
right.
And I guess that's where I'm coming. Because, I mean, really, truly,
it's iron sharpening.
Because it's iron sharpening iron. And I understand you should never take my word as fact. All right? You shouldn't take any priest's word as fact. Be like a Berean. What did the Bereans do? They took what Paul said to them, and then they went back to the scripture to see if it was true. Never trust a human. All right? And why? Because we are all sinners and we all come short of the glory of God. And believe it or not, as much as I study, amen. Let God be true in every man a liar. I can still twist this thing up. Right? I can teach things incorrectly and think that I'm doing it correct. That's why we must follow the written word of God and the Holy Spirit giving us direction. Don't trust your priest, don't trust your pastor, don't trust the TV evangelist. Read and study yourself approved unto God. Right?
Hebrews 8:10 says, for this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and I will write them on their hearts.
Yes.
And I will be their God and they shall be my people.
You know
that comes from Jeremiah,
yeah.
the first account, that's a quote, and then the next chapter is repeated again. That very same quote is repeated three times. That when God repeats something three times, it is a total finality to understand.
Yes.
There is no other way, there's not a deception, there's not a trick to it, there's
mm-hmm.
not a, it's not in a parable, it is a truth.
Thank
sound
you.
And sound.
Yes.
And it's an actual doctrine. A very solid doctrine that God has given us.
Yes.
He will teach us personally. Now, he uses many sources for that. He can use a pastor. He can use a radio program.
Yes.
He can use biblical scripture, which he does most graciously.
Most graciously. Yeah.
He can use even a person's, you know, understanding their footnotes.
Yes.
Many sources does he use, but he himself will give the revelation.
Absolutely.
To us personally. It is a personal relationship.
He'll also warn you when something's wrong.
Amen.
Yes.
Now,
yeah.
It's
kind of like warning them. You'll be like, wait a minute, is that true? You'll
yeah.
You'll know when you're hearing something that's not true.
Yeah.
I kind of, you know, jumped in on that slipper thing a little bit earlier about being woke up in the morning, but it's very curious because this morning I was woke up early.
Yeah.
And as I laid there, I was given a bit of an encouragement in my spirit about relationship.
Oh, come on.
And no. There is a relationship that the Lord has with each one of us. And I went downstairs and I looked up, I took my dictionaries out. Great thing. Dictionaries are so great things.
You really are.
And I looked up relationship, and it's something that you combine with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an action. Any relationship stands with an action given by one and a reaction given back.
Yes.
If either of those things aren't in play, you don't have a relationship.
Yes.
Wow.
You can act upon somebody as much as you want, but if they don't react to you, there is no relationship. It's one-sided. God wants that relationship, and yet when you read it in John, he wants a love relationship. Love one another, as I have loved you as the Father has loved me.
Yeah.
It comes forth from the Father,
yeah.
And that love is first given to us through his grace.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to react to it.
Yeah.
If we don't react to it, if we don't do what he has set before us, there is no relationship. Only in that relationship will the Lord speak to you, will the Lord guide your life, will
yes.
the Lord bring revelation to you. That single point is the very beginning of your walk with God. And if it's not in place continually, there is no walk.
Right.
He says, when a separation comes, he says, I've never known you. Though you cast out devils, though you heal people in my name, there was no relationship. It was one-sided.
Yes.
It can't be one-sided. If we're not hearing, if we're not led, if we are not having the same relationship, he's given to us in marriage so that we can understand.
Right.
Who goes away and works away from their wife their whole life?
Yes.
And has a relationship. It doesn't work that way. You
right.
have to communication.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on communication. We see it in a very beautiful picture that creation has brought forth to us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Simple understanding.
Reciprocal, I think, is the word.
Yes.
It's a reciprocal relationship. It's like a two-man bow saw.
Yes, it has to be
back
and forth.
It has to be both back and forth. Anybody here ever work a hand bow saw? A big one that takes 2 men? All right? It's hard to do it by yourself. It's hard to do it by yourself. 2 people, that means it's a man. Exactly, it's a two-way thing. You pull, you push. Well, when you're being pulled, you help keep it level because the other guy's doing all the work, and then he does the same thing on the way back. Same thing with your relationship with God. It's the very same thing. God is, I mean, could he do it on his own? Sure he could.
He did
one thing with Abraham, but if Abraham had not trusted him and got out of his father's house,
yeah.
would have never had the other part.
He always starts it. It is God's love
first.
His
initiation.
His grace first.
Yes.
But we have to react to it.
Absolutely. And then we can
only do it that way.
Right.
It can only be a reaction
yes.
to his love first. It is only his works that are righteous, not our own.
Not our own.
We can't make the action. We can't go forth on our own action. It is his actions first.
Absolutely.
He first loved us.
Yeah, he first loved us.
Yes.
While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yeah.
We didn't get better to get God. We got God to get better. Right?
Amen.
You know, and so it is that. It's God loving us in the middle of our mess, and then it's us reacting to that love.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't do good works to get saved. I do those works because I am saved.
Amen.
Because God so loved me that he sent Jesus Christ for me. And then in that, he gave me the comforter, the Greek word paracletus. Right? I don't like using Greek because I barely speak American. Right? And so... I don't speak English because they use silent letters and I don't use those. So anyhow, I talk American. It's plain, right? It's plain. And he gives us the Holy Spirit to show us the plain, simple truth. He gave us 2 tools to know him. First is ears to hear him. He who hears what the Spirit says, right? Let him, I guess I could just look at the end of any of these. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, right? Let the church understand what the Spirit of God is saying to you. So if you're born again, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which leads you into all truth and reminds you of all the things that Jesus did. And then we have the Word of God, this right here. See, if I teach things that are outside of this Word, and I say that the Holy Spirit made me do it, guess who's lying?
Mm-hmm.
That's me. No, he did not. I've had folks tell me that. I said, you might want to leave your wife, but that ain't what God told you to do. You know?
Wrong God.
Wrong God. Yeah, wrong God. Absolutely. Because God will never, the Holy Spirit will never guide you anything outside of the confines of this scripture. There are no new revelations. Right? This is the full canon. This is it. Cover to cover from Genesis to the Revelation. There is no, well, there are some things that are not known in the Word of God. You know, John in the Revelation has seven utterances that he was told not to write down. Outside of that, it's pretty much an open book. Right? Everything else has been told and retold and showed and exposed, and the Holy Spirit guides us through it all. If I come here and say, I have a new revelation of God, no, you do not sit down and shut up. All right? And that's y'all's job. Right? If anybody comes here and says that they got a new revelation, oh, prophet so-and-so said that this was going to happen. If it ain't in the Bible, that prophet needs to be brought out in stone. All right? That's what the Bible says.
But revelation is on
the really does. And in the very beginning, if you add to or take away from the prophecies in this book, your name will be scratched, taken out of God's Lamb's Book of Life. Don't add to it. Don't God's very serious about it. He's very serious about it. He holds His Word above His name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess. And God holds His Word above that. So, anyhow, this church, he said that they had that Nicolaitan thing. They were being led by the stumbling block of Balaam and Balak. And he says the fix it here is in verse 16, repent. All right? Repent. All right, well, okay, if you're doing those things, if you're believing that kind of stuff, if you're caught into that mindset, what are you supposed to do?
Turn away.
180-degree turn. That's repentance. It's not, notice he didn't say confess it. So many folks will say, well, I'll confess it. God already knew it. I mean, you weren't hiding anything from God, right? He says, repent from it. You don't have to tell me your sin. Personally, I don't care. I got enough sin of my own to deal with, right? I don't need to know what you do. God already knows. Repent to Him. I'm not going to tell you to repent to me. I don't have absolution for you. I can't. I'm a sinner. If I were to die for you, guess what? You'd still go to hell. Right? You know why? Because I don't have the blood type. I don't have the holiness that I... If I were to die for the sin of mankind, it wouldn't do any good. That's why Jesus came, right?
Amen.
And so he said, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Repent, or what's he going to do? He will fight against you. Do you want God to fight against you? If He does fight against you, who's going to win? He will. Right? Do we really fear the Lord? Do we believe that if we do these things, if we believe these false doctrines, if we don't follow the Spirit, if we don't follow the written Word of God, do we really believe that God's going to come against His church and fight against them?
You know He's going to do that and, when He comes back after the millennium.
Yeah.
When He uses His speaking out of His Word and destroys Satan and all the armies of the earth.
Yep, cast them into hell. That's the millennial reign, right?
After the millennium.
Yeah. And so there's coming a day that God's going to clean house, right? But how about for this church? This is long before the millennial reign, and He already told the church before, I'll come and take my lampstand. I'll take your witness, I'll take your light, I'll take your influence in the world away. Because you believe and you practice falsehoods. Does the church really believe that? And do you really believe that if we live in sin, God has the authority to remove His lampstand from us? Do we really believe that he would war against us? That he would fight against us with the sword of his mouth? Many churches don't. Many churches have that once confessed, always saved. Did you hear how I worded that? Pray after me, you've slid into home. Repeat these words, and you're blessed for life. Eternal. I just do not see that in this book. I don't see that. I do see repent, confess and repent, be baptized. I see those things, but I don't say repeat after me. Jesus never said, pray these words, and you'll be saved forever and ever and ever.
I think that's why I put the parable of the seed and the sower in there.
Amen.
So I know
yeah.
exactly what you need to do.
Yes. Absolutely. There's a. You look at those kingdom parables. We just went through them last year. Pretty much 52 weeks of just 13 parables.
Okay. Last year was just a couple of days.
It really was. I think we started it this time last year. We had like 52 weeks of that teaching. And so I can't promise you that this year. Well, actually, we could start with those. No. He's the same thing to Jesus.
You know, our scriptures teach us to persevere and to endure on the end and to run the race and everything.
Right.
This is a daily thing.
Amen.
And that's one of the biggest things that is missed with that idea of once confessed, forever be you know, fixed. It's a daily thing. The manna is given each day. There's a reason that the whole of creation is set upon day by day by day by day. That's not a mistake. I mean, we take it for granted because we don't really look at it. We have nothing to contrast it to. It's all we've ever lived under.
Yeah.
You know, but there's a reason that God set up each and every day in and of itself and tells us that don't worry about tomorrow, don't bear upon yesterday, but take what is good today. And it comes with the understanding of walking, the very walking of faith is what God tells you in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
If that relationship is in place, do
that. Right.
It doesn't matter what yesterday told you.
Amen.
Abraham, it doesn't matter I told you your son was going to be the father of all, you know, was going to be the beginning of all people, of all my people. Today I want you to sacrifice him.
Right.
Abraham didn't say, I can't do that, Lord, because you told me yesterday
that he
can't die. No, he said, today I will take what you've given me and do that. And
there
he was accounted unto righteousness for doing that.
Right.
It was because he walked in faith. You know,
enough.
God, I don't understand it, but you said it's true, I'm going to do it.
Yep. There you go. We don't have to understand it.
No.
Two things, we got to hear it and we got to obey it.
And it's day
by day.
Every day his mercies come new, every morning.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that.
Because
every morning we need them. And every morning we start out a new day. And that day, hopefully, we persevere.
Yeah.
We don't always. Our failures are a good lesson to us. Our failures are an establishment of knowledge with humility.
Yeah.
Whereas our triumphs are now, we are poor knowledge with pride.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't want that.
No.
So, take our failures in stride day by day.
Yeah.
And then God also rewards us along the way. The first belief that you have to believe that God is who God is.
Yes.
The very beginning of belief, and that He is your rewarder of those who
seek Him.
And He does reward.
He does.
He does reward, but not unto pride.
Right.
He won't do it.
Absolutely.
I've never put the situation of the manna, but what happened to those who try to pick up manna for tomorrow.
Right? Yeah.
Isn't that the people who say, I said the prayer six years ago. You picked your manna up and it doesn't last 6 years.
It don't. I have to seek forgiveness, repentance, sometimes hour by hour.
Yes.
Abiding in him. And we forget that from John 15, is that abiding. Abiding doesn't mean coming and bumping into, it means being grafted into and holding on and bearing fruit. There's a lot that goes along with that abiding.
Mm-hmm.
You need the fresh, and I've had people say, I don't need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. He filled me one time, that's all I ever need. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, you take this cup of water, you set it on the counter for a week and try to drink it through the mold that grows in it, it's not smart. Right? And this has all those chemicals that the government puts in your water is supposed to keep it fresh. Anyhow, right? I need fresh anointing every day, sometimes 7-8 times a day, because I don't know about you, but I'm covered in rottenness. Go ahead, Seth. Okay. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, what was I mentioned, the fear? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, which is Proverbs 7.
Yes.
But fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's true. Rampant within a lot of the churches.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They don't fear the Lord.
They don't fear the Lord. And, well, again, and we've been taught in church not to fear God. How many here went to a pastor that said, you should never fear the Lord? Right? Don't fear the Lord because he's love. God's all love. None to fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Jesus told us over and over and over again to fear God.
Well, that means respect.
No. Yeah. It holds respect in it, but when God speaks, people fall down dead. Right? When Jesus said, I am in the garden, people fell down. They were blown over like a comet went through and knocked them out flat on their backs. When God speaks, the mountains quake. I don't know if you've ever been around an earthquake. I've never seen it, but I watched it on TV once, Towering Inferno. Scares me.
Well, man, the fear thing. I wouldn't say walking around shivering.
Right.
But it's a reverent, deep, reverent, underpulling
on our ultimate authority and power.
How that every breath you take, every breath your heart, he just gave it to us right now.
Awesomeness. Okay, go ahead.
Unless you would fear your parents,
yeah.
That loving parent, mm-hmm. How they're going to discipline you or whatever. They let you walk around shivering in fear of them. But
I love my dad, but I also fear him.
There you go. Absolutely. Yeah, my mom was really, really strict with us, but I wasn't quaking around her all the time. I didn't start shaking until she unhooked the strap on her purse.
But sometimes the fear makes you put up a wall, or like you don't want to talk to, like we thought, so I feared my father, and you would want to not tell him something. You know, I don't want that relationship.
Right. And God doesn't want that with you.
That's what I'm so...
So we have a bad understanding as humans what fear is because we didn't have a Holy Father to begin with. I'm not saying that your
there's
dad
always
intention. Really needed to be.
There's always that she wished. There's always a tension there.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know how to get around this thing. If there's a deep abiding reverence and a humility and a meekness before Him, but there is also that point in time where you understand, I better not take another step.
Yeah, the examples of Noah and Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
God is able to mete out justice.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be aware of that. You need to
That's great. Right.
You need to be aware that you might face that kind of a situation.
So there's that tension. There's a tension there.
That's why you didn't
want to say something
to your dad because you didn't want to hurt him. You didn't want to disappoint him.
Right.
And that's why we try to hire him. Because you don't want to disappoint God.
And I don't want to be punished by that. Go ahead.
I can say I grew up with a father. So I had no idea what a father figure was supposed to be like.
Yeah.
I'm on and off, you're reaching out.
Yeah.
That's going to tell you everything.
Mm-hmm. That's the truth. My mom had a lot of guys moved in and out of the house. Okay? It was like a revolving door in my house with different dudes. Right? And my father passed away when I was a young man. Right? And so after that, it was just... And she wanted me to call them all father or daddy. And that caused problems. But I didn't understand reverence or fear or honor until I came to know Christ. I feared the guys that my mom would bring into the house because they were nasty people. It was shaking in your room in the corner kind of fear. That's not what God wants out of us. But when the type of fear when God says, get up and go, and you say, yeah, I'm going. I'm going out of reverence, out of obedience, out of fear, because if I don't go, I'm going to miss this relationship with you. There is. I think we, in America especially, we have the wrong idea of what biblical fear means. And go ahead, Tom.
There was two types of fear when Christ spoke.
Okay.
They came to get Christ, and he says, I am, and they fell.
Yeah.
But they feared the law
Yes.
Wasn't he did to God?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can't imagine if I come to you and you spoke to me and I fell, that I'm going to put lay hands on you whatsoever.
Yeah.
I said, it's time to go back to Caledonia.
Yeah.
Okay, but these guys fell flat at mm-hmm. just the two words, I am.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, well, we still have to take you in because the law says if I don't, I'm going to be killed.
Right.
I'm done. Well, don't we have that today?
Mm-hmm.
I fear what somebody else is going to think before mm-hmm. I name the Lord Jesus yeah. Christ. What are they going to think of me?
Right.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
There you go. He just read that.
Yeah. That's what starts.
Isn't it like a fear that you will lose something?
Yeah.
Fear that you will lose that relationship with
mm.
God.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Think of the therapeutic benefits of fearing God.
Mm-hmm.
Think of like people who fear God, and a psychologist may say, hey, dude, that's not healthy. But then you look at his life is in a garbage heap.
Yeah.
Like, hey, and this woman or this man is living a straight, I mean, they're benefiting with physical health, and
yeah.
they're living a, yet they fear the God, and in the eyes of the world, they'll say, hey, that's a sickness.
Right.
I don't think so, dude. I think if you look at the other people who are suffering horrible things in their life because they thought they could do whatever they wanted. Yeah.
I think, didn't they call them in the 20s and 30s teetotalers? The folks who didn't smoke, didn't chew, didn't hang out with those who do.
Yeah.
All right, they lived God-fearing lives, and they were called teetotalers, right? I wouldn't go to a bar. I won't drink liquor. I won't smoke alcohol. I won't go around to the smoke alcohol. I was tipping a bottle a little hard yesterday. You know, and they were saying, you know, those things. I just won't do that because I fear. I want this relationship with God so much. I don't want to do anything to damage it, right? I won't mess around with things I should mess around because I don't want to hurt my wife. You're not going to catch me counseling with a woman one-on-one. Ever. Right? I'm not going to be alone with any of you chicks. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to, because I love my wife and I fear my Lord. So I'm not going to do that. And it's I don't want to do anything that's going to hurt our relationships. Either way, with God, and he tells me the things that have hurt my relationship with him. Here's a neat one. Do you know if you bear iniquity in your heart, God will not hear your prayers? Who wants to have their prayers heard? I do. You got something?
Yeah, well, I just realized, God does chasten his children.
Yeah.
So, if God told you to do something, you didn't do it, I'm going to know if you're being chastened by God or it's just something that happened to you, that it would happen to you anyway, whether he chastened you or not.
Well,
I'm going to know.
Two different things there that you touched on. God chastens those whom he loves, right? Like a father chastens his children. Again, in Proverbs it says, the man who hates his son spares the rod, but the man who loves his son disciplines them quickly. All right? You always heard it turned the other way around, but that's what the Bible says. If you're not disciplining your children, you don't love them. Why? Because we're God's children, and when we do bad things, he disciplines us. All right? Because of his love, I don't want God to come and fight against me with the sword of his mouth. And these people were living in disobedience, the ones, and there's a real fear there. What keeps me driving close to the speed limit is the fear of getting a ticket. Really? Because if it wasn't for that, dude, I would fly around town, zoom, 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 because I want to get there quick. Right? But I don't want to pay $120. All right? I don't
want insurance.
Amen. Why do you want insurance? There's a whole bunch of bad things that come. If I willfully sin against the one true living God, even though he loves me, there's a payment for that. Right? There's a payment for that. I don't want to damage that relationship. I don't want to damage that relationship with my wife. Right? If I was looking at dirty pictures or something, that would damage the relationship with my wife. Right? If I were going out to dinner with any girl, that would damage my
my relationship. I don't want to do that. I cherish that relationship. I cherish my relationship with God. You know, I'm. It's not that I'm afraid of Him. I'm afraid because of Him. Right? Because He is the I Am. And so it's not a cringing in the corner kind of fear. It's now, because I understand His holiness, I want to walk close to Him. And anything that might break that relationship, I fear that relationship being severed. For me personally, that's the fear that I get. Does that help, Tim?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And so, praise God.
He chose a good word there. We just spent about 15 minutes talking about it. All the aspects of the word fear.
Yeah.
All the connotations of that word. And all the fears that we should have. Whether it's just fear of judgment or whether
mm-hmm.
it's the holy fear that you would have, like a reverence fear, like that for your parents and all that.
Yeah.
It's a good choice of word because
yeah.
we spent a good time.
Yeah.
Them.
So go ahead.
I think too many people look at a chastening, a pruning as though it's a chastening.
Mm.
It prunes us for so that we will bear fruit.
Yeah.
And chastening is to get us.
they
both bear strong resemblance, but
mm-hmm.
it's a different purpose.
Yes, different purpose. Those who don't bear fruit, what does John 15 say? If you don't bear fruit, he's going to do what?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he'll prune you, and then he'll gather you as bundles and cast you into the fire. Does that mean I can lose my salvation? It may mean that you never had salvation in the first place. You know, and again, does it mean there's a lot of this? Is it true, once saved, always saved?
Yes.
Okay.
If you are saved.
There you go.
If
there
you are
converted. There's the word. There's the word. I love that much more than saved. Because there's a true conversion. It's the like I tell folks all the time, I am not a recovering alcoholic or drug addict. I am recovered from that because Jesus recovered me out of that. I'm no longer there. That is dead. Go ahead.
If he's quenching our lights, taking our lamps in,
mm-hmm. come on.
Were we saved? Or are we just pretty close to being a Christian and living a good life?
Again, in the Revelation, it says, I will come, if you take or add to the prophecies written in this book, I will scratch your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Okay, there's a, all right, was that person saved? How do you get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? And God said, I'll scratch you out.
Yeah, but I still want to hear the answer. How do we get our name in the Lamb's Book of Life?
You get your name.
Is it by asking Christ into our heart and following Him, or is it just because we were born one day?
His foreknowledge, He wrote the names in the book before the foundation of the world.
Okay.
He's
not willing, but
yeah,
that doesn't mean that they don't.
Correct.
Yeah, but there are those that were never, ever written in. The Bible says that. So He foreknew who would ever get saved, put their names in the book of life before the foundation of the world. So, if He can blot it out, they were in it.
Yeah. Now, there's a lot of hyper-Calvinism that went on with that statement. Okay, hyper-Calvinism says that you are born again whether you ever accept Jesus Christ as your Lord or Savior or not. Right? Because He wrote your name down. But something you said at the beginning of that is, if you didn't catch it, you may have missed it. God has foreknowledge.
Right.
All right? Yeah. He. What was it? I heard it as a P.
Predestination.
Yeah.
We're all made. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
We're all made in the image of God.
Yes.
Every single solitary creation.
Yeah.
It is the will of the Father that all should be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Birth puts us in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Okay.
By very establishment that we are created in the image of God. Each being created.
Yeah.
We come to a point where the grace of God is given to us to choose whether we will accept Him or we will stay in our own understanding. Well, we will be wise in our eyes or we will come under His authority. At that point comes the time where your name is either erased or left established. That's the way that I would understand that. And And it can be a process. It doesn't have to be an immediate point of time. There can be some of those that carry on for a while. Their name remains, but then they eventually turn away. Because the scriptures speak very soundly to the idea that your name can be removed.
Mm-hmm.
Or some of those that have tasted the good things and have come to the knowledge of the,
yeah,
of the Lord Jesus Christ and then turned again unto their own ways can be removed. And the latter state is
worse
than the former state.
It would have been better if you never knew.
But
right.
what child at 1 year old would not be accredited to heaven? Wouldn't that be unrighteousness on God's part to condemn one unto death? But if he establishes, and I speak here from a bit of an understanding from creation, what would be righteous in judgment,
yeah,
but also from what the scriptures would say, it is his desire that all would be saved. So he would start all to be saved.
Yeah.
He created them in his image. He's not, an unrighteous person is not in the image of God, and yet all are created in the image of God.
Yeah.
So they have to be righteous in their creation. Their name is established, it's written in the book as they're created,
mm-hmm,
or however that works.
I knew you before I created you in your mother.
Yes, but some will choose to go unto themselves, they will be erased. And
yeah,
some will choose to stay in that name or name.
There is your predestination and your free will tied up together.
Yeah. And the Lord knew it all from the beginning.
Right.
I think the verses you need to look at are Revelation 13:8. In Revelation 17:8 talks about those that their names were never written in.
Yeah. And so for y'all that are just fresh here, this is what we do every Sunday morning. You know, isn't this like a great badminton game?
This is Berean.
Berean, yeah.
Well, the part that we need to finish on from, I mean, like, we can talk about Jacob, but
yeah,
in 17, it says, you know, what stone is in stone and in name written? There's no man,
no man,
he that received it.
Mm.
After he talks about the stuff in the animal.
Right. Yeah, because we haven't gotten that far yet, but
yeah,
you're right. So, 13:8 and 17:8 has who has those two in their fingers real quick?
Yeah, 13:8.
Go ahead, read it out.
And all the family of earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Amen. So that tells us that the ones who will be enveloped in the end time scenarios are those who do not have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, right? If you get to 13, because that's really what he's talking about as a whole in that chapter 13. 17:8.
And the beast that thou sawest was not, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were written in the book of life from the foundation of the world.
Mm.
And when they beheld the beast that was and is not and yet is, and here is the mind of which hath wisdom, the seven heads, the seven mountains, on which
right,
the woman sat.
And so there you got two places in the Revelation that says that your name may have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation. But you also find other places in the Word of God that says your name were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation.
Yeah. Those who before knew according to Romans 8.
There you go. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah.
Bonnie?
Yeah, there's a couple that say you use words.
Yeah, there's Moses said, Lord, blot my name out. And the Lord said, I will blot out whose name I want to blot out. All right? So, Moses, I'm not blotting your name out, but that other guy over there, I'm scratching him off. You know? And God's absolutely in charge of that.
No,
I'm
you were
going to
say something. Your finger went up and up.
Yeah. Okay, I just took you.
So, are you saying that in the beginning, everybody's name is in there?
No.
No, but the rules, 2 rules, 3 rules. There well, rules are in there, they're not.
There comes a point of understanding what sin is, right? Look,
God's foreknowledge is perfect.
Yeah.
Regardless of anything.
Right. I know some folks who are mentally unable to know right from wrong, right? Down syndrome, stuff like that, or whatever. And they never confess the Lord Jesus Christ with their mouth, but they never really understood sin, what sin was. God's not going to cast them out, as far as I can see in Scripture, because He's just. That would be a very unjust thing to do. An infant that dies. David, we... Oh, go ahead.
Jesus said, let all the children come to Him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, children passing away, why not in His presence?
Yeah. Go ahead, Brian.
Is there an age of accountability?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. In the Hebrew, it was around 13 where the bar mitzvah comes from.
Wouldn't that, therefore, kind of imply that prior to that, mm-hmm. they're not responsible for their sins, they're saved already, but yet, once they reach the age of accountability, then...
Now, I like that thought. Is there a concrete age of accountability?
For each person, maybe different.
There you go. Yeah.
I'm not saying it's...
I said bar mitzvah, which happens at 13, all right? But if you're... I know some grown men... Then, yeah, main grown men. Just because you're 30 years old and you got hair in places, that don't make you a man, right? Just, I mean, there's, yeah.
Well, it skips signs, permanent title.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And but he knows the Lord Jesus Christ. You asked Nate about that.
One day we talked in here about the ark.
Yes.
Okay, and there were no little children that are mentioned at my house.
Right. None. Yeah.
So what are we saying about those children?
The ones who didn't go on the ark? Ah, there's a great question. All right, when God flooded the world, how many babies died?
All
of them. There were no babies on the ark.
But that says nothing about were they
saved or unsaved. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a good point, too. It doesn't say that they were born again or not. It does say that their generation was messed up because of the angelic hosts that have been breeding with humankind. We know that Noah was the only one in his generation that was perfect, in his genome that was perfect. Go ahead, sis.
Oh, they can be messed up too, right?
Yeah, they can be messed up too. Well, actually, how many here are born sinners? Right? So all of our stuff is messed up because of Adam, right?
Conceived in sin.
So what we're saying is that there were people who were not in the ark who died in the flood, but that went to heaven.
I'm not saying that. I'm just laying it out there as a thought process.
Well, they, according to when Christ died, he went to the depths and ministered.
Right.
Were any of them, and I don't know.
Well, we know that there was Abraham's bosom, yeah. Which was a place of peace and rest until Christ came and went and preached. And there was also a great gulf that no man could pass that was full of torment. The rich man was in Hades. He was in hell, tormented. He asked Lazarus to come across, dip his finger in the water that he might cool his tongue. Right? So we know that it's not he wasn't tanning on the beach, you know, getting margaritas, you know, whatever. It was a very horrible place to be. All right, and Lazarus, the beggar, was in a place of comfort and peace and rest. We do know that Jesus, after he died on the cross, he did go, and is it 1st or 2nd Peter, talks about he went to the depths of the earth. He went and he preached to those who were in bondage. All right, now, and he went to set the captive free, I believe is what it says. He went to set the captive free. Now, what does that mean? What does that entail? When I look into it, those who were in captive, they were being kept in Abraham's bosom. Jesus went and he got those souls, those ones that were righteous because they believed the Lord. Abraham was righteous. Why? Because he believed. Right? Noah was righteous because he believed. All those saints that died before the cross were kept in Abraham's bosom for safekeeping. When Jesus died, he went and he set the captive free, those who were with them. What makes me think that way is when Jesus was heading back to the Father, he stopped because Mary Magdalene was worried about him being not in the tomb. Right? Everybody remember the account? And Jesus spoke to her, "Don't touch me." She went to touch him. He said, "Mary, don't touch me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father." If I'm not mistaken, and I could be, all right, I don't even think that I'm perfect on this. If a human sinner would have touched him, it would have defiled, that's the word, defiled what he had, that he had to deliver to the Father, which would have been those souls that were made clean through the belief in Christ, or in the Father, right? Those who believed and it was counted unto them as righteousness, and they were held there. Now, when he did that, Hades expanded double size, right? It just got bigger. The gulf was dried up, and now hell followed that place. Any thoughts? Do it out there like a spinning quarter.
On the predestination, the foreknowledge, I think if God can foreknow all those that live, eventually live, he can foreknow those that die.
Oh, absolutely.
Too, right? He would foreknow if they were allowed to live, whether they would come to him.
Yeah. Our problem with trying to understand God is we have a finite mind and he's an infinite God. Unfortunately, we think God is everything on the inside of this cup because that's all we know. All we know is what's that, all right, if you were just like this little micro bit here in the water, I'm looking deep, and you were part of this, there's millions of us, all we know is what's on the inside of this cup. And we really can't see anything on the outside of that cup because we're on the inside of it. But God's out here. He's not in this cup. He's not tied by time. He's not tied by the physical aspects of the things that are on the inside of this cup. And you're right, Jake. He sees the beginning from the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is all of that and more. We know about the three spirits of God, right? We know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Trinity. The Bible says that there are seven spirits of God. I don't know the whole of that. I do not know how big God is. I know that he says that he holds all the oceans in the span of his... Oh, no, the universe is in the span of his hands, and all the oceans are in the palm of his hands. Alright? From what I know, the universe is pretty big. Alright? It's a finite thing. It has borders, right? We know that. But it's bigger than what I can think.
It's uncountable as the sands of the sea.
Yeah. Now God, he is that. He says that he uses the earth as his footstool and the heavens are his thrones. I think it's a little different than what we've ever imagined. God. Someone so powerful, he spoke and things are created. God. You know, it's just, it's outside of our ability. Yeah.
I can dwell on this stuff. just the more thoughts and more questions and...
Yeah, the desire to study.
It makes you want to dig in. There you go. And that awe is a type of fear. It's the awesomeness of that book.
Yeah, I think if we all look at Romans 8:29, I think that's a great verse for what we were talking about with the foreknowledge.
Go ahead, read that when you get there. I got to bring it back to the Revelation here before we get done.
Right there. Yeah. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Right. So he did foreknow, he did predestinate. God, like I said, he's on the outside of our coffee cup. Yeah.
So I'm thinking of in Psalm 139, where it says that he knew us
Before we were even created.
Before we were created, yeah.
Why would he not do that?
Yeah.
And he was then, why would he know what we were going to be doing in the future? Why
yeah.
Except to know that we would turn him away.
Absolutely. Yes.
He
knows. Yeah. Yeah. God knows. We don't. That was my job to tell everybody about him, because I don't know. I don't know who will accept him. I don't know who will reject him. I don't know. So I tell everybody. Anybody who has ears, right? And even if you don't have ears, I'll still tell you.
Yeah, but I'm still slow.
Okay.
God knowing my predestination
yep.
doesn't mean that Alan's going to heaven. He knows whether I am or not.
Right. Yep.
Okay. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life today,
mm-hmm.
but what happens tomorrow?
Right.
Okay? So again, we haven't answered the question of how we get our name in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Right.
The only thing we've gotten to know is that, or approved, that God already knows. Okay? I've seen the movie 16 times. I already know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's still going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay? The bad guy's still going to die.
Yeah. And John Wayne kills all the angels.
I see it as our responsibility to make sure
there you
that
go.
We, you know, stay in tune with the Lord, reading His Word and,
mm-hmm.
and talking to Him.
But we also hold on to that truth that our works don't make us righteous.
Yeah.
We're righteous because of His works. Right? So salvation, when you're truly converted, all right? When you're really converted, not just confessed, but when you truly, when the Holy Spirit actually comes on you, Jesus said it in John 3 to Nicodemus, a man must be born again. You've got to be born of the flesh, but you've also got to be born of the Spirit. Right? And if you're not born of the Spirit, you cannot see. And that word see means comprehend the kingdom of God. You can't even get close enough to understand. That's my sister.
So if you want to go back to when Pharaoh with Moses.
Yes.
So Pharaoh was created for that time.
Yeah.
At the end of that, he also knew God's glory.
Yes.
And he turned from it.
Yeah.
That's
yes,
why
he did.
He followed Moses and went after the Israelites.
Yeah.
So unless the intent of your heart stays towards
ooh,
God,
thank you. That's great.
And
this is a free will thing, right?
Yes.
God does not force you to walk with Him. There's a free will that goes with it. So, can you turn away from the gift of God? If you turn away from the gift of God, what's the result of that?
A hard heart.
A hard, well, what's the eternal result of
that?
Damnation. It would have been better if you've never known, right, than to have known and turned away.
That's why we're reading about the repent and
yes.
turn back to where you were.
Now, see, if you repent, you come back, He says, I will give you the hidden manna.
Yeah.
Right? Who wants a manna sandwich? I do. I want the manna cotti. I want the manna stuff that God has. Right? I know y'all heard all the things before. And so, He also says, that He will give you a white stone with a hidden name, right? That only He knows. You don't even know it yet. But when you get there, He's going to give you something different, right? When you get there, when we persevere, when we overcome, when we trust God more than we trust what we see, God says, I got something for you.
He even gave us an example with changing the name of Abraham,
yes.
Sarah, and Paul.
Paul, yeah, absolutely. He changed Paul to Saul, or Saul to Paul. Right? Go ahead.
So I'm going to say, the person who sees it now, there's no man knowing it, saving
that we see it.
Yeah.
At that time.
Yeah.
See, I don't know what my name is. You're probably going to be called George when I get to heaven. So I'm known on earth as Curtis or Cortez. And so when I get there, I'm going to have a different name. I don't know what that is. But when I get there, I will know. Paul said, I don't know what he looks like, but when I get there, I'll be like him. I'm chopping that scripture up to pieces. I don't know what I will look like when I get to glory. I don't know what this glorified body is, really. I don't know what it is. But when I get there, I'll know it. So what am I going to do to make sure I get there? I'm going to repent daily. I'm going to live like this is my last day and that judgment is coming today. I'm going to do what I can, the most I can do, to walk in the holiness of God every minute of every moment of every day. Will I fall? Yes. But when I fall, I'm going to fall into Christ and not away from Him. Mm-hmm. Because I know His mercy is fresh every day. And if I confess my sin, He's faithful, He's just to forgive me of that sin. 1 John 1:9. Got something there?
I'm just reading at the end of all the churches. Yes. It says, to him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life. So it sounds like when you overcome, you're going to receive this, the tree of life. I would probably need to just define that.
Yeah,
and then it says, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. So like, it's important to overcome.
Yes.
So
it is every single one of them. You're right. He that overcometh,
or endureth
to the end, which is overcoming, right? So overcomes what? No, that's the victory of overcoming. But what do we need to overcome daily? Sin. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Right? So I need to overcome my flesh so that I am able to walk in the Spirit.
Daily, because He doesn't give us tomorrow.
Amen.
He doesn't promise us tomorrow.
So I got to do it every day, every moment of every day. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I'm saying, we know when we sin.
Yeah.
So instead of being day, it might be hourly.
Yeah. You know? Oh, well, actually, it's not only do you know when you sin, you know before you're going to sin.
By the Holy Spirit.
I mean, do you really realize that? Do you know before you do a sin that you're going to sin? It's a choice you make. So you know before you get there, if you have the Holy Ghost is telling you, stop, don't go there, that's a bad decision, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. But then you have a free will to do it or not.
There you go.
All right? Now, if you don't do it, if you don't do the thing that disappoints God, the sin that's coming at you, you earn a different understanding of the faithfulness of God. All right? And if you do the sin that so easily besets you, you don't realize the grace and the mercy and the power of the living God. Oh, folks, I love you. Who wants to close the prayer? We got through one church today. So anyhow, who wants to close the prayer? Please let me step up.
Our gracious and Holy Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this time this morning. Thank you for sending your Son, Lord, to die for us.
Yes.
Thank you for the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, thank you for your word, Lord, and that we know, Father, that you're going to reward us as we diligently seek you. Father, I'm just praying now for Pastor Curtis with the upcoming service, Lord, if he brings forth your word.